Greetings and welcome to another edition of Futures Forum Online. This is March, Women's History Month, and we're exploring the future history of women through a series of conversations with women from around the world, working at the global or international level. I'm Claire Nelson, and I will be speaking to Jerry Uberly. Jerry is the founder of the World Academy for the Future of Women, which was launched at the SAIS International University Campus in Sincheng, China in 2008. Its goal is to advance and accelerate women's leadership worldwide. So without further ado, I invite you to join me in a conversation with Jerry Uberly. Welcome, Jerry. Thank you for agreeing to be a part of this conversation. How are you today?
I'm fine, Claire. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this special series. This is an exciting topic and an exciting time to be exploring what our future is.
Yes. Now, tell me a little bit more about the World Academy for the Future of Women and what it's doing.
Yes. The World Academy for the Future of Women is a bold and daring leadership program that is preparing university women for campus, community, country, and global leadership. And we're doing this through a leadership model that is an action leadership model. The women in the academy are taking the content of the coursework we're providing, putting it to action in projects around the United Nations Millennium Development Goals, and demonstrating how their leadership will manifest change in the environment in which they work, and in the environment and career that they're going to.
So tell me something. So this is taking place at SAIN University in China. Are all the women you're working with in China, or you have other programs around the world?
Actually, and the name of the university is SIAS International University. It's an East meets West model university in a rural area of China in Henan Province. The province is rural, but it has 100 million people. And the project started there, we're in our sixth year, and it was in the intent that we would be in other countries by this time. However, funding and resources have not been available for that expansion, but the expansion on campus has been extraordinary, has been way beyond what we could have imagined. We now have the first year World Academy for Women, and 100 women are in that each year. We're always oversubscribed and have a great process in selecting 100 women. There is an advanced academy, so women can go into their second year. There's an academy in action where they actually go into the third year and go into internships, having the opportunity to demonstrate their skills and their passion for making change outside the university. And then, phenomenally, the men at the university came forward and said they wanted a men's academy for the future of women because they wanted to assist women in gaining equality in the workforce, in their communities, in getting education and health benefits. So we now have a three-year program called the Men's Academy for the Future of Women.
So I'm very curious. So the program, you're saying it's a curriculum. Is it something they do alongside their major, or does it take over the place of their major they're studying?
It's aligned. It's aligned with their academic program. It may or may not seem like it's aligned with their major, but any leadership can align with any major. So yes, I would say it's aligned with a major. It is a non-credit leadership program. The students who are selected for this are selected because of their passion and commitment to being leaders, and they do it in addition to their academic program. Leadership is not about credit. Leadership is about service. And what the women and the men in the program realize is that leadership comes from inside. It doesn't, you know, it's not what somebody gives you. It's something that you discover within yourself that you give to others.
Oh, wow. I like that metaphor. It's very powerful because somebody asked me that question, what is my thought of leadership. And you know, I couldn't answer it. I may have to borrow that answer. Leadership is something inside of yourself that you discover. I guess you, and I could probably add, discover, improve, and then give to others or something like that. In any case, so how about how many hours are these 100 women spending? Well, the initial group is much more than that now. But in every cohort, about how much hours in that year do they spend together doing whatever it is that they're doing?
Actually, Claire, this is one of the amazing, amazing things about the Academy. They're required to spend 8 to 10 hours every week in addition to their academic program. They have evening seminars where they receive content. There's 4 hours of evening seminars each week. Then they have interactive labs where they take the content and put it into action. So the labs show them and assist them in determining how they're going to use the content and act on the content that they've learned. So it's putting the skills into action. And then they have coaching sessions each week where they are coached on the problems that they encounter, the difficulties that occur as they move forward with this. They work in teams on their projects, and their projects are based on the Millennium Development Goals. Most of the students in the Academy, many of the students in the Academy, come from rural agrarian families. They are some of the families that live on less than a dollar a day. They're families who don't have clean water or toilets or aligned with the Millennium Goals. Oh. But in spite of their conditions, in spite of the environment, these women are making groundbreaking improvements in their lives and in the lives of other people. There's generosity, there's gratitude, there's celebration. We tell them early on in the program they have a voice and they have a choice.
You know, I'm listening to you and you talk about Millennium Development Goals. There are two things. Number one, this is the last year of the Millennium Development Goals. And we're now talking about some new goals called the Sustainable Development Goals, which is one reason why I'm even having this conversation. My concern for the next 15 years that we may not have, you know, the luxury of the leisurely pace at which we worked at things for the Millennium Development Goals. And we may need to have a new paradigm in order to get more people to buy into, attach themselves to, and really engage with the vision of the Sustainable Development Goals. So saying that, how do you think that your program, you're only 7 or 8 years old, but it was halfway through the MDGs that you started. How do you think for those women who have come out of the program and gone into the workforce since you trained them, how do you think they've been able to use this training to address the issues of the MDGs in the environment in which they work in China?
That's a very complex question, and I have a lot of answers to it. First of all, because we have like 600 students who have completed the program. We don't say they graduate; we say they complete the World Academy. Many of them have gone on to higher education. Some are studying in Germany. One is studying in Germany. One is studying in London. One is studying in, several are studying in the United States. And these are many are studying in China, advanced education. Some are in jobs. Some of them are still in the university because you can enter the academy as a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or senior. There's no entry time specific to your year in college. So you can start at any time. The earlier you start, the more opportunity you have to continue. What I'm seeing and what I'm so proud of is the generosity to help others in their jobs, in their work, in their community, to open up the possibility for other people that has been given them through their participation in the academy. And if we're going to achieve the Millennium Goals, it's going to be out of generosity and passion to change things. I started the Academy because of the Millennium Goals. I had been in Beijing for the fourth UN Women's Forum, And when, after 1995, when that forum was held, when in the year 2000, when the Millennium Goals were developed, I was absolutely inspired that the UN had taken on this magnanimous task and really were focused on the most dire conditions in humanity, the most dire human needs. And so I thought, man, this is handled. The UN is taking this on. We can do this. And then when I looked back after about 6 years and noticed that the needle had not moved significantly, I don't mean things had not been done. I really want to be careful how this is listened to. I don't mean that the UN hadn't done anything. What I mean is the distance between where we have gotten on the Millennium Goals and the job to be done is far from finished. And so when I looked at that and thought, what hasn't happened? What are we not seeing? We've got resources. We've spent money and we have money. You know, there's food to feed the planet, and yet one child dies every 5 seconds. We have education, and women are still not receiving education, and we have technology to take it out. So I saw resources to most everything in the Millennium Goals, and what I didn't see was strong, compassionate, committed leadership. And so I thought, okay, my contribution can be to develop that leadership.
There's a term I work with called evolutionary leadership. I've seen one or two other people use it, but I use it to mean leadership for the global commons and for the common good. And there's several principles that I lay out. As I'm listening to you, I'm really excited about this work and wondering, how has this thing on in other rural provinces in China? What has happened? Has there been any interest in following this model? Because although you're saying you're the World Academy, for right now, we're still in China. Well, the goal of us is to be around the world. But China has one tenth, 10% of the world's population.
About one fourth, actually.
One fifth. And we know by research that it takes 10% of a community to believe in a particular vision for that tipping point to occur. So right there, if you're talking about 20% of the world's population almost, right? If you could get 10% of the university women in China to be a part of this project, that's a huge needle of thought moving. So I guess my question is, as we look towards the SDGs 2030, as we have this conversation, next month, the UN will be meeting in March, Women's History Month, Women's Day, to talk about what they're doing. As we look to that next set of goals, how can your lessons, your experience be really packaged so that this can inform women that may be coming to, you know, these meetings about what they can model, borrow, and use in other countries around the world?
Well, it is packaged. The thing that my disappointment in that we haven't spread to other countries is balanced by the amount of research and curriculum development that we have done and experience we've gained out of doing it at CIOS International University over the past 5 years. One of our board members has done a year sabbatical and an analysis of all of the students who have gone through the academy. We have an analysis of the facilitators, the people who have led the modules, the curriculum modules. And so we now have some very strong data. We have all the curriculum that we've used over the past 5 years that we're using now in the sixth year that we continue to refine. And so the growth within the academy has been phenomenal. And so we're packaged. We're ready to go. But we don't have funding and we don't have resources to expand to the invitations that have been offered. We have a memorandum of agreement with Panastrasti University in Cambodia. We have a request from a monastery in Chiang Mai, China, to put the academy in a monastery. We have communications with Kathmandu University in Nepal, with Ambo University in Ethiopia, and a couple of universities in India. But we're not fully equipped financially to make those commitments. We are exploring this spring another location within China that would bring together 14 universities in a district in Sichuan province to do a collaborative within those 14 universities. So, there's a lot of interest. We're not lacking interest, and we haven't even marketed it. Really, Claire, we haven't even marketed the academy. We've been so impacted by what the women and the men in the academy are doing and keeping up with them in terms of making available to them the opportunities and the vision they have for their leadership.
So as we talk about the goals, because they're debating 17 goals, right?
Yes.
And the goals will probably include water, again, food, more than likely those two are always critical. There might be one on education, there might be one on environmental issues. How does your leadership training adjust to these particular goals? Because I'm sure you've been moving from the MDGs as your focus to now the SDGs. So how do you think your training might need to shift, or is it so robust that it's just like, you know, two sentences and you're there?
Yeah, well, the program runs all year. So there are four modules each semester that are delivered. Each module is 4 weeks long, and it's delivered by a facilitator who goes to the university to deliver that module. They do the seminars, they do the labs, they do the coaching, they do an open forum for all students once a week on the goals and on leadership. So this is an ongoing eight modules each year of the academy. And we don't give them the how-tos. We give them the whys. Why do we need sustainable development? And if you ask them why, they can look at society, they can look at their village, they can look at their water conditions, at the air quality, they can look at the insecticides and the crop productions, and they can look at the health issues within their community and the toxicness of that, and relate the why to their own conditions, and then they develop a plan on what to do. Some of the projects are pretty phenomenal. They have to do with the environment, and they're looking at the use of, you know, plastics and the use of water and the overfishing in the villages as a team, and then implementing those. They're going into villages, and they're teaching mothers how to read or how to tell stories and use books with their children so that education will be valued and that students will stay in school. China has compulsory education, but they don't have the quality of education in the villages that they need for students to get the type of education that will serve them as they move into jobs. So they're looking at conditions within their own environment, on campus, in their community, and in their country, and certainly we use the Millennium Goals as the global standard for what the need is, and then develop programs around that.
Yeah, but this year is the end of the MDGs, so I'm asking them, will your curriculum have to change to match the new goals, which are the Sustainable Development Goals, or will?
But I don't know that they will or they won't, and I'm eager to be in New York and to be part of that discussion. But, you know, how could the goal not be ending world hunger? I mean, no matter what the UN does with the Millennium Goals, the conditions on the planet will remain the same. Whether they accept ending hunger as one of their goals is immaterial to me, really, because that's a dire human need. We'll work on that forever until we get until we handle it. So what the UN does, and we were so proud to receive an Aspire Award from the United Nations, an Aspire Award. It's an award for education. The World Academy received this for education. It's action by students to promote innovation and reform through education. That's what Aspire stands for, action by students to promote innovation and reform through education. And that's what we're doing, being innovative in our approach. And, you know, it has never mattered to me, really, it has never mattered to me whether or not the students from the academy have a career in environment or health or you know, one of the goals. What matters to me that whatever job they have, they are broad-minded and receptive to looking at what their company is doing and whether or not their company is embracing these basic values for people. Are the working conditions humane? You know, is the environment safe? Is there equity in pay? Is there treatment, you know, the treatment of people? Is there kindness? Is there generosity? Is there a spirit of well-being and being cared for and caring for? Both of those are important, being cared for and caring for others in your environment. That's the way we're going to achieve the intent of the Millennium Goals.
I really like that, your passion and your fervor. And I hear that really what you're about doing is to create evolutionary leaders, because people who care for others and care about the environment, indeed, whether it be their small micro environment, because the world is made up of billions of small micro environments. You know, each of us is a micro environment. We carry our micro environment wherever we go, because we litter, we use water, we use the bathroom. So we are, moving microenvironments. So what you're doing is really, I would say, phenomenal in developing the curriculum to kind of instill this kind of leadership in the next generation of women that will become, you know, in 15 years, the people in charge of these issues. So
right.
I will ask you to help me end with perhaps give me a vision, a headline, a statement of what you would want to see as successful accomplishment of the World Academy for the Future of Women in 2030, in 15 years. You have been working for 8 years, but 15 years is a good time to give yourself time to grow. So what is a vision, a headline, something you'd like to see said about your program in 2030?
Well, I would like to say that we got it done. You know, there's the time element in doing this. Look how fast things happen through internet. Look how fast things happen through a single blog. When people get, when they really get that their life matters, then it matters what they do. If they don't get they matter, it doesn't matter. And so our message is that we're in this game together, and we can get it done. It's accomplishable. It's not a dream. The World Academy, you know, when you have goals and you don't have leadership, it's just a dream. When you have leadership, it's a get-it-done thing. It's let's get it done. And so the urgency in the members of the academy is paramount to their action. It's not, well, let's make this action plan and then let's send it here. And let's, you know, that's not it. It's like, let's get into action. It's not thinking about leadership. It's being leadership. What will I do today that will make a difference? How will my life matter to somebody on CIOS campus because I'm part of the World Academy? And how will it matter to me?
And how many people are going to be in your army by then, your army of leaders that you will have trained? And where will they be?
Oh, they'll be all over the planet. They will be absolutely in as many countries as we can get into. And the U.S. is a country that I'm interested in getting into because the conditions in my community here in Phoenix, Arizona are unacceptable. We have people going to bed hungry in Phoenix. Give me a break. Give me a break. Where is the leadership to get this handled? I'm not saying that there aren't conscientious and dedicated and numerous organizations working on it, but it's still not done. It still isn't over. And we need to mount the resources for no child to go to bed hungry, for no person to be a street person, for no person to have an illness that's not being attended to. We live in a country that has been the most creative, the most imaginative, the most generous country on the planet. And we're underperforming. We are underperforming for what we have the resources for. And leadership will change that.
Well, that is a good place to end. Leadership will change the underperformance of this country inside its borders. And leadership will change on the performance of our human community, global human community around the planet. What a wonderful vision you have. The World Academy for the Future of Women. Thank you so much, Jerry, for sharing this.
Thank you, Claire, for asking me to participate. Thank you so much.
Well, folks, we've come to the end of another great conversation. We have been listening to Jerry Uberly. She is founder of the World Academy for the Future of Women, and as you hear it, it's a leadership program aimed at creating a global army of leaders, women leaders, and men who support women in leadership for a sustainable future. Thank you for listening, and as always, remember, it is better to be a parent of your future than the offspring of your past.